Blog Talk Radio.
And you're in the G-Zone with Giovanni Gelati. Gio, what's going on today?
Thank you so much, Big Daddy Abel. I guess the question would be, what is not going on today? I got a lot of neat stuff happening here this evening. We're going to be simulcasting the Helping Hands Press Thirsty Thursday party. And if you're on Facebook right now, Twitter, if you're listening here on the show, I want to thank you so much for everything. Let's just go. I want to get to the Facebook page and see the opening prayers popped up. Yet it has not. So let's just wait a minute until that does happen. And we'll see what's going on. Then we'll get into everything here because we do have a lot going on here, not just on the G-Zone, but on the Facebook page this evening. It's going to be pretty busy. And we're going to finish the evening with George Taylor's podcast. George right now should be in St. Louis. He may even be reading right now as he's part of very interesting audio theater type thing. I'm just trying to get the opening prayer here. Let's just go over real quick before we do that. Maybe this is it. Let's see. I really don't want to start until we read the opening prayer. Yes, here we are. It has cycled. Okay, everybody, if you don't mind, name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Father, today I choose to set my mind on you. I seek you with my whole heart. Show me your love and character today. Show me your ways that I may walk and live close to you in Jesus' name, amen. That's from Joan Victoria Osteen. I've got a lot going on tonight. I can tell you, the next time, just as a heads up, we'll talk about that often during the show. There'll be a blog post over the next 2 weeks about what's going on. If you're on the Facebook page, the Helping Hands Press Facebook page, there is, if you go into events, you will see all the Thirsty Thursday parties from now till the end of August. We're going to be going on a monthly schedule. So the next time I will be simulcasting a Thirsty Thursday for Helping Hands Press will be on the 25th. And if you go in the events area, you'll be able to see that. You'll also be able to see the tweets that go with it. You'll also see some of the folks that are coming up here on the G-Zone. We had Melanie Jasky on yesterday. She was a ton of fun. But next week, starting on Tuesday, Christy Cambron and June Foster will be my guests here. Flora Regatta on the 17th. And then the week of the 22nd, we're going 4 days in a row. Kim Vogel-Sora will be with us on Monday. Tuesday, Larry Peterson, and he's got a post tonight. And Tracy Krause will be with us on the 24th. And then we will have the Thirsty Thursday simulcast. Tracy right now has a play going on. If you follow her blog, you'll be able to see what she has going on. Folks in the house, William Tash, he's a big player tonight. Sue Badeau is in the house. Joy Ross Davis, Patty J. Smith, Linda Mizucci, Flora Regatta. I don't know if I mentioned, did I mention Peggy Bland Pfeiffer and Joseph Maxwell's? Okay. Well, folks on the sidebar, it is Murray Pure. I think I saw Linda Mizucci a little bit earlier. William Tash has got a lot going on. Let's just give an overview for the evening. Another minute post for Patty J. Smith. She interviewed Travis Perry at one point on her blog. That's going to come up at 8:05, the interview with Travis Perry. Tonight, William Tash has two releases. One, the audio book for Backslide, and two, a little later in the program, the ebook release of Backslide. So tonight, both the ebook and the audio book come out for Backslide. Featured paperback this week is Big Jim Williams. Cattle Drive. The featured audio book is Colony Zero. Let's see. Coming soon. This is pretty cool. Murray Pure's American Civil War series, Cry of Freedom, is going to come out in complete ebook on the 25th during our next Thirsty Thursday party. This cannot come out in paperback in its entirety in one volume. It's too big. There are too many stories, and they're too big to be contained in one paperback. It would probably have to be two volumes. But you can get it in one complete ebook. That'll be on the 25th. Two reading samples tonight. One is from Melanie M. Jasky. She was on with me yesterday speaking about evasions. Also, she was talking about the Inklings Group, C.S. Lewis, J.R.R. Tolkien. We also touched on her other three novels, Inklings, Intentions, and Expectations. That almost eluded me there for a minute because I don't have it written down. New release tonight by James J. Griffin, Faith in the Law, the complete ebook, so you'll be able to get all six stories in one. There's a new author to the Helping Hands Press author community. His name is Kevin Stabinski. You get to meet him this evening, at least virtually, here on the blog, and we'll get to the blog in a minute because there's a lot of neat stuff showing up there and a lot of very interesting things going on there. Let's see where we're at. What else we have going on here? Oh, a new release by Mark Carver from the Colony Zero series. Colony Zero, Series Zero, his new releases. Mark, a little bit later in the year, he is part of the Downsized Literally series, the YA Fantasy series, so he'll be one of the authors in that. We have a reading sample from Larry Peterson. And you get to see the cover that he went with the help of everyone from Facebook and Twitter and here on the Thirsty Thursday party. But let's head over to the blog. In a few minutes, the post for William Tash's new release will be popping up. Let's see where we got. Going to hit you with some numbers here. We're going with some stats here. To date, as of right now, the Helping Hands Press blog has achieved 732,642 views. So, if all things remain equal, it is very possible that the blog may hit a million views sometime by mid-July, which is pretty cool. Okay, audience. This is interesting because one of the countries just popped up into the top 10 today, has not been in it for quite a while. First off, the United States, then Russia, Germany, a solid number 3, France at 4, Venezuela at number 5, United Kingdom at number 6, Netherlands at 7, Denmark is number 8, and this one just popped in here today. Canada just moved up to number 10, I mean, number 9 today. Rounding out the top 10 is Ireland. Pretty cool. All right. Now, if you're over, all of a sudden there's two comments here. Let's see what we got. Hold on a second here. All right. Tony Hilling on Melanie Jasky's blog, he likes B. Always sold on the Spitfire. June Foster weighs in on the same question on the reading sample with the covers. She likes A. The picture is this first scene. So two different comments, two different cover responses. Interesting. All right. Now, if you are on the blog, if you scroll down here, The first post that is up there is Melanie M. Jasky's reading sample from Evasions. If you see the third little item there on the sidebar is a chance to vote on what creatures would you like to see in at the corner of Crossroads and Cosplay. You may pick more than one, which is fine. You can see the Helping Hands Press Twitter feed pretty much live. I mean, the first two posts are already up there. You can see the number of views, which I discussed. Right there, you on the sidebar, Blog Talk Radio. You can click on any one of these interviews here just like the one we had yesterday with Melanie. You can click on that and listen to it while you're on the blog. Same thing with about George Taylor's Here and Now, which I will play before we hit the road this evening. And down the bottom there, George Taylor interviewed Sue Badeau. Now here, popular post. This is what I wanted to get down to here. Number one, still holding out number one, is Peggy Bland Pfeiffer's Sweetwater River. The announcement of her launch. Number two, Murray Pure's A Soft Morning. Three, Michelle Huey's Fifth Wheel. Number four, listening to the Sunrise in Sweetland. That's a really nice blog talk show. Number five, the audiobook sample for Joy Ross Davis's Solar Petersburg. If you want to listen to that audiobook sample or any of the audiobooks samples for the Helping Hands Press authors, please, just fill out the contact form, and you can listen to, I believe it's now, 23 or 24 audio samples. Next one is William Tash's Cover Choices for Backslide. What do you think of the beginning of Joy Ross Davis's Heartbroken Angel? Next one is Joseph Max Lewis's Baghdad Burning. Robert Cunard. Meet him and help him pick his cover. And last one is the audio sample for William Tash's Backslide. Please, right below that is the contact form. Fill that out, and folks at Helping Hands Press will be more than happy to send you the link to go to listen to all the audio samples. And then there's a Facebook badge, Pinterest badge. And then if you keep going down a little bit further, you can see the blog list. Right there, there's Patty J. Smith's first. Pew Perspective is Ann Baxter Campbell. The third one is Tracy Krause's Expression Express. I've been following that for years. Click on that. You can read about what's going on with the opening night for her play. Pretty cool. Underneath that is Amber Shamel's blog, where she has a day in history. Very interesting stuff. Life of Pam. That's Pamela Horner. And then there's Michelle Huey's Got Me in a Cup of Tea. You go further down, you can see some of the other blogs. Sheila Solomon Grant, Janice L. Dick. Right now, I believe, is Karen Lang. There's Cindy Noonan's. Blue Brown Books is Michelle Austin Witte. PA History is Sandy Sieber. All right. Then there's the blog archives. Now, you can stop back this weekend and all week next week. There will be a number of blog posts put up for a wide range of various authors in the Helping Hands Press author community. Okay, let's see. The post for William Tash's Backslide just popped up. Folks are asking to hear. I'm not going to deny anybody. So here we go. Right now I'm going to play William Tash's audio sample for Backslide. And I'm not going to give it any more introduction because I did that last week and I sounded pretty bad compared to George. So without further ado, here's George Taylor.
Meet Paul. He's the quarterback for his high school's football team. Good looking, popular, until his father's business folded. Now he's working in the local burger joint, but he's sure he still has it. Meet Tracy. She's Paul's twin sister. Pretty, and she knows it. What folks call stuck up, a snob. And she's wondering about her life now that her parents have nothing. Meet Cole. He seems to be an ordinary high schooler. However, he tells everyone who doesn't know about Jesus the Jesus story, leading many to know the Savior. Cole has just gone to work at the local burger joint. What will he tell Paul? And Tracy. Cole spotted this beautiful young lady. What will he say to her? Helping Hands Press and William Tash present Backslide. Narrated by George Taylor of narrationbygeorge.com. Take a listen to this sample. Paul Compton stood in the storage room of the Best Burger restaurant, checking out his image, staring back at him in the full-length mirror that was placed carefully on the back of the door. He breathed in the fading aroma of stale onions and fresh-cooked French fries. The break room, which doubled as a storage area, was filled with silver-colored wire shelves all around that had cardboard boxes with the tops ripped off containing ketchup and mustard packets. There were plastic tubs of mayonnaise stacked on the shelves, as well as plastic bags of paper cups and lids for fountain drinks and French fry boxes in all sizes, along with paper bags for takeout orders as well. At 6'1" tall, he was only a couple of inches below the top of the mirror. Ignoring the foul fast food smells he had become used to, he read the sign posted above the mirror out loud to himself, since he was the only one in the room. "Have you checked yourself today?" "Why, yes. Yes, I have, and thank you. I'm checking myself right now, thank you very much. And oh, those big brown eyes are gorgeous, young man. Love those wavy brown locks of hair to match." "Well, thanks again, Mr. Mirror on the Wall," he said sarcastically, while snapping his fingers, winking, and pointing at his mirror image. He took another moment to admire his perfect white teeth, practiced smile, and chiseled jaw. There were probably better ways to make money than flipping burgers, he thought, or, as in this place, running them through a charbroiler that was chain-fed. But at 17, it was going to have to do, especially since his dad had recently lost his company business in a lawsuit gone bad. Paul had gone from being a star football player, dating one of the hottest cheerleaders, and having money falling out of his pockets, to their family almost being homeless, moving to the ghetto side of town, as everyone called it, and having to get a job and work to help out. Life seemed cruel to him, but maybe this was a good lesson. He wasn't sure how, but he did find out he didn't really have any real friends during the ordeal. A few stood by his side, but when push came to shove, their loyalty withered like a dandelion on a hot summer day. There were plenty of whispers traveling through the school about the sexual harassment lawsuit that caused the collapse, but no one seemed to be on the side of his family. He decided working would teach him something. He wasn't sure what that was yet, but after all these months working, there must have been a lesson somewhere. He had learned to think before spending any money, so that was good. He slicked back his shoulder-length brown locks of hair and pointed at himself in the mirror again, quite pleased at what he saw. "You are still the sexiest man at Arrowhead Regional High School, even if your family is no longer rich." He kissed the air, quite pleased with the way he looked, slipped on his paper "Eat the Best, Forget the Rest" hat, and was almost knocked over as the door swung inward. "Hey, man, watch out! You have to be careful coming in here. Don't you know the rules?" His face twisted with a sudden rage as he screamed at the boy he had seen in school walk in. His face turned red and he clenched his jaw as he tried to control his anger, but that was a hard thing for him to do. The rage was instantaneous and made him see red, usually only for a few seconds. "Oh, sorry. I'm new here. No one told me about any of the rules yet. I'm Cole Jeffries, and you're the football guy, Paul, right? You play that big position, what's it called?" Paul nodded, a little annoyed. "Quarterback." Cole snapped his fingers and pointed at Paul. "Right, quarterback." Cole thrust out his hand and felt a momentary, but very distinct, coolness that he knew all too well as Paul took his hand and shook it. Paul was not saved. Cole had the gift of knowing that the second he shook his hand. He didn't know how the gift worked, wasn't exactly sure why God had given it to him, but the second he shook anyone's hand, or sometimes when he got near someone, it was clear to him if they were on the path to heaven, or possibly hell, whichever the case may be. The opportunity to share the gospel and the salvation message seemed to be a constant in Cole's everyday life. He liked the fact that God had entrusted him with such a special gift. He shivered at the thought of Paul going to hell and let go of his hand. It was another opportunity for him to share the salvation message when the time was right. "Sorry about the door. The manager told me to get a shirt and paper hat back here." Paul's anger left as quickly as it had come, and he unclenched his jaw as he sized up the lanky kid with blonde locks and brown eyes he'd seen around school before. He always had a few friends around him, as he was always speaking about God, and he was always carrying a Bible around, waving his hands animatedly in the hallway like some deranged television evangelist. "Yeah, I'm the football guy, and you're the Jesus freak, right?" "Jesus freak? Sweet, I've been called worse. I guess that would be me, Mr. Jesus Freak." That's Backslide by William Tash from Helping Hands Press and narration by George.com.
All right, we're back. Welcome to the G-Zone. We're simulcasting Helping Hands Press Thirsty Thursday. Facebook page is really starting to light up here. I see John, June Foster, Janice L. Dick, Pat J. Smith popping in, Marcia Lee Laycock, let's see some of the other folks that are here, Cindy Kep, Jim Griffin, Pamela Horner, a lot going on here on the Facebook page and on Twitter. I want to thank everybody for being so polite and kind to share your thoughts tonight. I want to go down and see if anybody, did that come up yet? No, at 8:25 will be the reading sample for Melanie M. Jasky. If anybody's on the anybody listening to this on the Facebook page, if you'd be nice enough to tell us what you thought of the audio sample for William Tash's Backslide, and I'd appreciate that. Also, just for fun. I'm running out of stuff to watch on TV because all my shows are done. Like after Thirsty Thursday, I like to chill out and watch Big Bang Theory. It's not on. And I've seen just about all the reruns. Now, does anybody have any shows maybe they're watching on Netflix or something that is of interest? I'd appreciate you passing it on. Sheila Hall, Stan Walker. Michael Martin Murphy, Larry Peterson's in the house too. A lot of nice folks here tonight. Something I wanted to mention about the events page. For each one of the way you can get to that is you can either see it on the sidebar beneath the photos and right below the banner. On your Facebook page, it says timeline, about, photos, giveaway, and more. You should be able to click, and there'll be a drop-down box. You can click on events, and you can see all the days for the Thirsty Thursdays. Also, the tweets, if you want to be nice enough to help spread the word. And also, the authors that are in the Helping Hands Press author community that will be on here in June, here on the G-Zone. So you can tune in on that. It's about 8:23. In a little while, I'm going to play the audio sample, Fort Colony Zero. And because as we get to the near the end of the evening, I want to make sure that we have enough time to play George Taylor's podcast, telling everybody about where he's at. Because I think it's a pretty nice feather in George's cap, and I hope he's having an awesome time right now. I really do. Let me see. I'm just looking at some of the comments about Murray Pure's cry of freedom. Sue says she loves reading Civil War stories. Jim Griffin says no war can be called civil. Very nice. That's a very astute observation. Sandy Sieber's in the house. Nice group going on here. Speaking of Cindy, if you scroll down there's two posts that have been shared on Facebook the past few days and Twitter. One was by Marta Burden, Spice of Life in Tel Aviv, and the other one's by Cindy Noonan, What Was It Like to Be a Slave? Cindy's there in period garb, holding her book, which is pretty cool. Author getting into it. She got dressed up and showing her book here. If you read the blog post, you can find Cindy on her website, Amazon author page, Twitter. Just click on any of the links and engage Cindy. She would love it. Also, for Marta Burden, you can find her on Twitter and on her blog. Very interesting. Let's see. What do we got going here? Coming up. We got the reading sample from Melanie Ojaski. That should be popping up right now. I'd love it if folks weighed in on the Facebook page. If they get an opportunity to read it. You can leave a comment. Right on the blog post, or you could use a contact form to have that. See if any comments right now. Joy Ross Davis, she's getting a little ahead in the evening. There's going to be a post for Kevin Stabinski at E35. Joy Ross Davis is nice enough to welcome Kevin. We're a nutty but lovable group. That was very kind of her. So that's up there. I don't know if Kevin will be making it this evening. He still works in the military. I don't know if he is busy this evening or not. I guess we shall see if he does appear. Also, if you're taking a look at Melanie's first chapter, please weigh in on the cover. Jim Griffin can't say without an idea of the storyline. The first chapter, it's a historical. It's the prequel to Inklings, Intentions, and Expectations, part of the Oxford Chronicle series. Peggy asks the question, has Melanie chosen a cover yet? No, she. The feedback she's getting is pretty much, everything's pretty much split down the middle. Cindy says she likes B better, A seems a little claustrophobic, B though is hard to read, the font's a little too thin on the verticals. The verticals. Okay. If she means the top line, I understand. Okay. Sometimes you guys on a Facebook page use really large words and I get lost. Okay. Let's see. June Foster, comment on the sidebar. Oh, Cindy says she's been watching Deep Space Nine. Is that part of the Star Trek series? Is that an offshoot of Star Trek? Cindy, if it is, something I might think about. I watched Firefly with my youngest daughter. I tried watching the old X-Files, too. I've seen just about all of them. Started watching with her. I'm trying to catch up on some movies I haven't seen with her. We just watched, not Signs. What was the first one? The Sixth Sense. I watched The Sixth Sense with her for their... the first time. I've seen it before. It was nice. But when I watched it before, I didn't see it with any subtitles. So it was cool picking up all the dialogue. It made it much more interesting for me. June Foster says, George Taylor's a master of creating voices to tell a story. Both male and female sound authentic. That's very kind of you, June. Thank you. Let's see where we're at. 8:28. I'm sorry for those folks that are listening on the archives. I'm just trying to keep pace with what's going on here on the Facebook page and on Twitter. I don't want to see Pamela Horner makes a reader want to read on to see what has. Okay. Sue says, okay, I like A best, but I'll read the chapter and see if it reflects my decision. William Tash says, of course, from a guy perspective without knowing, I like B. Okay. Let's drop down. Murray's got a lot of comments on his blog post. Janice L. Dix, she has liked it. Sandy Sieber. Okay. A lot of comments for Big Jim Williams. Big Jim was on the show last week when we did Thirsty Thursday talking about, he was pretty pumped about winning the award. Okay, I'm going to go back to the blog here. Just clicking on this. Oh, two comments. June Foster, thank you for serving, Kevin. Okay, Larry Peterson. I like A. This is about Melanie's cover. I like A. It seems to lend more mystery and or intrigue to what may lie ahead. Okay. All right. Okay, now it's 8:30. What I want to do, because I want to make sure we finish the evening strong, is let's see. Let's just do an overview so far. We started off with the opening prayer. The post up for Patty J. Smith. She interviewed Travis Perry. We have. We played the audio sample for William Tash's new release, the audiobook Backslide. The ebook, the post for that will be a little bit later in the show on the Facebook page and on Twitter at about 8:50. The feature paperback is Big Jim Williams' Cattle Drive. That won for the best first novel with the Western Fictioneers. You can access the either the featured audiobook or the featured paperback on the blog. There's a tab up top, and you can see the last few besides the current week's featured audioback or paperback by just scrolling down. You can see some of the previous week's ones. Talked about Murray Pure's Cry of Freedom, the complete ebook. Awesome group of stories. Really, really well done by Murray. He is, when it comes to editing a series and steering it, he is absolutely amazing and a wonderful mentor to authors. The reading sample for Melanie M. Jaskie's Evasions is up. And right now the new release for James Griffin, Faith in the Law, the complete ebook. Is for sale on the Helping Hands Press store right now. We'll be on Amazon Monday, by Monday, for it. Any of the new ebooks will be available on Amazon and other fine retailers by Monday. Okay. So that's where we're at. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to pop in the let's let George get back in here and give us the audio sample for Colony Zero. Here we are. Take it away, George.
Helping Hands Press presents Colony Zero, Volume 1, Contact, by Travis Perry, Mark Venturini, Mark Carver, Tracy Krause, Shannon Laws, Grace Yee, Lisa Godfries. Narrated by George Taylor. Narration by George.com. In 2810, they're called zeros. Some zeros are born, somehow slipping through the genetic screening and purification tests in utero mandated by an overpopulated Earth. Others become zeros later, the worst murderers and thieves and abusers, despite the same genetic screening. Whether born or made, they are Earth's outcasts. The dregs, sent to a perpetually dark rock orbiting a Y-class brown dwarf star by a society without the patience or desire to deal with them. The relocation ministry cites the humanity of the process, offering the zeros the chance at a new life. Yet the overcrowded world secretly knows with silent approval that they're sent to Colony Zero for one reason: to die. That is, until the RM ship Valkyrie 2 arrives on a routine survey mission to retrieve core samples. It is on that dark and windswept planet that the crew discovers a far different secret. In First Contact, the opening installment of Remington Colt's Colony Zero series, the secret discovered not only threatens the crew's deepest held beliefs, it threatens their return to Earth. A home where some soon realize the word acceptance has taken on a very dark and disturbing meaning. And now, a sample from Colony Zero, Volume 1, Contact.
Sir, Zeros are approaching, noted Crew Specialist Geiger in a businesslike tone. Rushing wind dampened, but did not drown out the words addressed to her captain.
I see them,
Captain Mark Albert Brenneman replied. The drilling site stood just over 100 meters from the nearest battered dome maintained by the Zeros. In his infrared eyepieces, more than a dozen bodies glowed as people shuffled his way from that direction.
Keep working the preparations to drill. Let me know when you are ready to begin, he ordered.
Funny, Chang only mentioned he wanted to speak to me himself.
Should we notify Lieutenant Ransom?
She pronounced the rank Lieutenant, but that was normal for a Brit. It annoyed Brenneman, but he reminded himself that a national preference did not constitute an error, according to the Relocation Ministry Policy Handbook. Geiger added,
Perhaps we could use some backup. It wouldn't take long for them to get here from the other side of the domes.
Don't worry, Crew Specialist. You and I are more than a match for a dozen or so Zeros.
He felt confident of being more than a match for them all by himself. But it was a good principle of command to express confidence in his subordinates, even though he was truly more than sufficient alone. The figures closed in, and most of them fanned out, evidently intending to surround them. A cluster of four continued to walk in a direct line their way. When they were 10 meters off, he shouted out to the figure in front of that little group.
What's this, Chang? First we find that you and two others are the first to survive more than a year on this hellhole. Now you got others?
I'm very sorry. My position forced me not to tell you everything.
The voice of the man still approaching rang out loudly over the wind, but remained calm. A figure on either side of him, each male, had an arm on each of his shoulders and guided him forward. Chang was blind. Brenneman knew this from their earlier encounter. The very thought of an uncorrected human angered and nauseated him.
Why had his parents been so negligent?
Ready to drill, sir,
said Geiger as softly as possible. Begin, he replied. Now within 2 meters of him, Chang's people surrounded them on all sides. The blind man spoke.
I'm afraid I can't let you continue. We're taking you into custody.
Brenneman frowned.
What do you mean you are taking us into custody?
A rebreather covered his mouth, supplying him oxygen in the mostly carbon dioxide atmosphere of Planet Zero. That and the perpetual rushing wind muffled his words. He raised his voice to be completely certain this defective understood.
Can you hear me?
The man he addressed faced him directly, but Chang's eyes wandered aimlessly. With normal vision, he would have only been visible as a black outline contrasted against the stars of a sky always as dark as night on Earth. But under infrared, this place looked almost inhabitable. The Y-class brown dwarf that passed for a sun here glowed green in infrared, brightly covering a third of the sky. In ordinary light, the same star would have been a mere black circle cut out from among bright constellations, very much like those of home. Without infrared, it would only have been visible by its contrasting lack of light from the outer two-thirds of the sky, occupied by stars with enough sense to shine. The heavenly black sun, blocking more light than it revealed, proved a worthy symbol of this black hole of a colony. Infrared revealed Chang's full face. A wide smile opened up below the grotesque eyes on the freakish head, only partly covered up by the man's own rebreather.
I'm blind, Captain Brenneman. I'm not deaf.
Now the smile vanished.
What I mean, sir, is that I'm very sorry to have to tell you this, but I cannot allow you to continue to drill any further. Since you have not complied with my request to refrain from drilling, I'm afraid I have to respectfully request that you come with us.
Well, that was George Taylor. He was nice enough to narrate the audiobook for Colony Zero. You're listening to the G-Zone. We're simulcasting right now, Helping Hands Press Thirsty Thursday Party. If you're on Facebook, Twitter, anywhere out there, I want to thank you for joining us. If you're listening on the archives, like many of you do, if you want to be a guest, please reach out, email me, find me on Twitter, Facebook, send me a message. I'd be more than happy to have you on as a guest. A few times this week I've had folks that were on the show. Passed the show on to a friend that was an author and said, hey, why don't you come on? I had a good time. So please get in touch with me. Be happy to have you on as a guest. Let's talk about your projects and talk about your books. And if you're a reader, please pass the show on to a friend and help someone find a new author to them. All right, we're at about the two-thirds mark here of the show for the evening. I want to try to get in a few more things before we play George Taylor's podcast discussing his the event he's at this weekend, which is pretty cool. Let's go over the Facebook page here. A few things happened while we were gone. Should be the release for Mark Carver's Colony Zero Series Zero called Olympus. Really neat thing about this is these are the backstories for Colony Zero. And the author team wanted to call it Series Zero to pay tribute to the Zeros. And I thought it was pretty cool. All right, now the post for Kevin Stabinski was up. Marcia Laycock, Peggy Bland Pfeiffer say welcome. Joseph Max Lewis says hello, Kevin, from a fellow Penn State or an Army vet. Jim Griffin, William Tash, welcome. Cindy Cope. I'll see Sue. Thanks him for his service. Linda Mizucci, Sandy Sieber, and Baxter Campbell, all welcoming Kevin to the Helping Hands Press author community. His stories are quite varied. Some of them are romance, some are sci-fi and fantasy. He has a wide variety of things. Coming up next at 8:45 is going to be Larry Peterson's little sample for The Demons of Abaddon, which is a YA fantasy series Larry will be starting. And for those of you who haven't figured it out, going with everyone's suggestions just about, he chose the image, the cover with the image of the dark hooded entity, I guess would be the right word. See, I'm just cycling around the Facebook page to see what's going on here. Now the next story up in Colony Zero should be Mark Venturini's. That'll be coming out in July. And then we'll see how the rest of it flows before it reaches completion. Let's see. William Tash, Geo asked about shows. Can't find much recently, but do love Jeopardy. Probably not the right category, though. I very rarely watch anything live. I DVR everything, or I've caught it on Netflix. The other thing I started watching is the Con TV, which is part of the Comic-Con thing. They have their own TV channel. And I got a little bummed out when I started watching it. They didn't have, there's no subtitles. So when I'm watching the, they tape the panels when folks have the Q&As. And the problem for me comes in is they're not wearing one of those kind of mics that kind of like sit on your head. They're using like a normal microphone and holding it. But when they do it, they have to hold it right up against their mouth. So I really can't read their lips either. So if the TV's not up loud enough and it's not blaring, I can't really hear what's going on. So I contacted them, and they don't have closed captioning at this point in time. And part of the reason is some of their shows are from, because they have a lot of old TV shows like Ultraman. I got really excited when I saw they had the old Ultramans. They even have Popeye, some of the old Popeyes. But they said it's pre-72 stuff. It's all analog, and because it's not digital. They don't have, they can't really subtitle it, which I thought was interesting. And because of that, they're not able to have some apps on Apple and stuff like that. It was an interesting conversation I had with the ConTV people. Hopefully in the future, as the summer progresses and we get into the fall, hopefully we will have some folks connected with Comic-Cons here on the G-Zone, whether they're vendors, artists, who knows, maybe a few actors. I have had a couple folks on that have appeared and signed autographs for folks at the Comic-Con, which I thought was pretty cool. So as we get into the crossroads of the cosplay, we'll be doing that more and more. There will be some new series popping up over the next couple weeks. I have some notes here that I was given about what's going to be happening on the 25th. But instead of revealing that this evening, I'm just going to wait until the blog post comes up. We'll talk about it on the 25th, the next Thursday, what's going on. There's a lot of interesting developments as far as series go and things like that. And I don't want to cut anybody short here. But just to make William Tash, thank you for that. I think that I have watched Jeopardy and I do enjoy it. I'm not going to say that I don't. But I haven't DVR'd that. I did find a few interesting shows on a food channel. Excuse me, cooking channel, not the cooking channel, on cooking channel. They've been pretty cool, but they've kind of run their course. So I'm watching Longmire. Murray says they're in season 4. I'm only on like maybe the 6th or 7th show. I'm enjoying it quite a bit. Okay. Now let's get back to what's on the page here. Larry Peterson's post came up for his reading sample. Okay, in a minute there's going to be a post for William Tash's Backslide. And to finish out the night, the featured audio book is Colony Zero. And we did play that. So as we get near the end of the night here, Patty J. Smith had an interview with Travis Perry. That's on her blog. All you gotta do is click on a link and go and read the interview, which is pretty cool. William Tash, two releases tonight, both for the same story, which I think is amazing. One is for the audiobook of Backslide, the other one's for the ebook. So simultaneous release this evening for William Tash on both. The featured paperback this week is Big Jim Williams, Cattle Drive. If you're on the blog and you're at the very top, okay, you can see right up top there, below the Helping Hands Press name is Home, Featured Paperbacks, and Featured Audiobook. If you click on either one of those tabs, a Featured Audioback or Paperbacks, you can see the ones that have been featured in previous weeks also, just as a side note. Okay, coming soon, Mark Jordan is going to be dropping the complete ebook of his American Civil War series, Cry of Freedom, during next Thursday, which will be on June 25th in 2 weeks. If you're on the Facebook page, you can just go to the events section and you can see the dates of all the Thursdays for June, July, and August. We'll be simulcasting all of them. I'm reading some of the comments here. Murray Pure has Abaddon as the angel of the pit, Apollyon in Greek Haunus. Interesting. Cindy says it's a spooky cover. Joy Ross Davis likes it. Pamela Horner, dark and awesome. Joseph Max Lewis. Okay, ain't going there without my shotgun and pistol. Maybe some air cover. Some holy water and an exorcist too. William Tash says it looks cool. Let's see. Melody Longacre Parker is here tonight. Some nice comments. On all the posts this evening, I want to thank everybody for being kind enough to do that. And for all the nice folks on Twitter as well. The Twitter following for Helping Hands Press is some great people there supporting the author's work. Okay. Yes, I have spoken about the event section. Coming, I'll just give you a little preview. There's going to be some talk about the conclusion of the San Francisco Wedding Planner on June 25th during the next Thursday. Also, we're going to be revealing the author team for a new romance series that'll be launched for Helping Hands Press. And there's going to be a few other surprises, too, which I think are going to be really awesome. Okay, what I'm going to do now as we wind down this evening is I want to play George Taylor's podcast of what he's doing right now. And I'm not going to spoil it. I'll let George talk about it because he sounds so much better than me. I want to thank everybody for listening tonight. And for anybody that's on the archives, thank you for sharing the show, whether it's on Facebook or Twitter or Pinterest, StumbleUpon, Tumblr, or wherever you like to share your content. I want to thank you so much for doing so and helping folks find a new author to them. Now, please go through the archives and listen to some of the interviews. Some of them are absolutely amazing. And the guests range a wide variety of genres, so there should be a little bit of something for everybody. I hope everybody has an awesome weekend. We'll see you next week as we have next Tuesday on June 16th. Christy Cameron at 10 a.m. June Foster comes into the show at 10:30. On Wednesday, we have Flora Regatta. And then at the end of the month, we have on June 22nd, that's a Monday, Kim Vogel-Sawyer at 10 a.m., Larry Peterson on the 23rd, Tracy Krause on the 24th, and then we round out the month with Helping Hands Press Thursday simulcast on June 25th. Hope everybody has an awesome night. Without further ado, here's George Taylor to take us home.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Narration by George podcast, the podcast on audiobooks, spiritual ideas, and other ideas of interest. This is number 15 in our series, and this week we're going to focus on an audio event coming up next week in Kansas City, Missouri. Here now, the Audio Fiction and Arts Festival is the audio equivalent of a film festival for contemporary audio fiction, including live and scripted solo performances, audio theater, audio books, audio art, classic radio drama, sound design, and much more. This annual four-day festival offers a multifaceted program showcasing the many forms of audio fiction and sound art storytelling in listening sessions, live performances, and podcasts. The festival works to present audio fiction programs that exemplify traditions of craftsmanship as well as of aesthetic and technological innovation. This is the only festival of its kind in the U.S. dedicated to celebrating the art of recorded and live audio fiction storytelling in all its many genres and forms, so says Here Now Festival Director Cynthia Allen. You can find more online, the events, the cost, and everything, at herenowfestival.org, or go to my website, that's narrationbygeorge.com, and click on the festival banner on the first page. Yours truly is proud to have been selected to be a part of this festival. So on Thursday night, June 11th, I'll be part of the opening night's readings from the writing of Mark Twain. Of course, Twain was born in Missouri. His writings are still loved and read. Big Twain fan here. That Thursday night, I will be sharing the stage with Roseanne Devine and Kelly Hazen as we read from various Mark Twain works. I will start out by reading a selection from Huckleberry Finn. I'm going to let you hear a sample of it. This is from Chapter 8. Huck has escaped his kidnapping by his pappy. He's hiding out on Jackson's Island. And here's a sample of what I'll be presenting next Thursday night. The sun was up so high when I waked that I judged it was after 8 o'clock.
I lay there in the grass in the cool shade, thinking about things and feeling rested and rather comfortable and satisfied. I could see the sun out at one or two holes. Mostly it was big trees all about and gloomy in there amongst them. There was freckled places on the ground where the light sifted down through the leaves, and freckled places swapped about a little, showing there was a little breeze up there. A couple of squirrels sat on a limb and jabbered at me very friendly. I was powerful, lazy, and comfortable. I didn't want to get up and cook breakfast. Well, I was dozing off again when I thinks I hears a deep sound of boom way up the river. I rouses up and rests on my elbow and listens. Pretty soon I hears it again. I hopped up and went and looked out at the hole in the leaves, and I seen a bunch of smoke laying on the water a long ways up, about abreast the ferry. And there was the ferry boat full of people floating along down. I knowed what was the matter now. Boom! I see the white smoke squirt out of the ferry boat's side. You see, they was firing cannon over the water trying to make my carcass come to the top. I was pretty hungry, but it weren't going to do for me to start a fire because they might see the smoke. So I sat there and watched the cannon smoke and listened to the boom. The river was a mile wide there, and it always looks pretty on a summer morning. So I was having a good enough time seeing them hunt for my remainders, if only I had a bite to eat. Well, then I happened to think how they always put quicksilver in loaves of bread and float them off, because they always go right to the drowned carcass and stop there. So, says I keep a lookout, and if any of them's floating around after me, I'll give them a show. I changed to the Illinois edge of the island to see what luck I could have, and I weren't disappointed. A big double loaf come along, and I almost got it with a long stick, but my foot slipped, and she floated out further. Of course, I was where the current set the closest to the shore. I knowed enough for that. But by and by, along comes another one, and this time I won. I took out the plug and shook out the little dab of quicksilver and set my teeth in. It was baker's bread. What the quality eat? None of your low-down corn pone. I got a good place amongst the leaves and sat there on a log munching the bread and watching the ferry boat and very well satisfied. And then something struck me. I says, now I reckon the widow or the parson or somebody prayed that this bread would find me, and here it is gone and done it. So there ain't no doubt, but there is something in that thing. That is, there's something in it when a body like the widow or the parson prays, but it'll work for me, and I reckon it'll work for only just the right kind. I lit a pipe and had a good long smoke and went on watching. The ferry boat was floating with the current, and I allowed I'd have a chance to see who was aboard when she came along, because she would come in close where the bread did. When she got pretty well along down towards me, I put out my pipe and went to where I fished out the bread and laid down behind a log on the bank in a little open place where the log forked I could peep through. By and by she came along, and she drifted in so close that they could have run out a plank and walked ashore. Most everybody was on the boat. They was talking about the murder. I could see 'em first rate, but they couldn't see me. Then a captain sung out, "Stand away!" And the cannon left off such a blast right before me that it made me deaf with noise and pretty near blind with smoke, and I judged I was gone. If they'd have had some bullets in, I reckon they'd have got a corpse they was after. Well, I see I warn't hurt, thanks to goodness. The boat floated on and went out of sight around the shoulder of the island. I could hear the booming now and then further and further off, and by and by, after an hour, I didn't hear it no more. I knowed I was all right now. Nobody else would come a-hunting after me. I got my traps out of the canoe and made me a nice camp in the thick woods. I made a kind of tent out of my blankets to put my things under so the rain couldn't get at them. I catched a catfish and haggled him open with my saw, and towards sundown I started my campfire and had supper. Then I set out a line to catch some fish for breakfast. When it was dark, I sat by my campfire smoking and feeling pretty well satisfied. But by and by, it got sort of lonesome. So I went and sat on the bank and listened to the current swashing along and counted the stars and drift logs and rafts that come down and then went to bed. There ain't no better way to put in your time when you're lonesome. You can't say so. You soon get over it. As I said, I will not be alone in this outing. Among my companions is Rosie Devine. I talked with her about this event and about her acting career, and she shares a sample of her reading as well. I'm sitting here with Rosie Devine, thanks to the world of Skype, and she's up in Kansas City and me down here in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And welcome, Rosie, to the Narration by George podcast. Good to have you here.
It's great to be here.
I'm glad to have you. And unfortunately, Kelly Hazen, who is also going to be reading with us at the Here Now Festival, is unable to join us. We will still talk about her a little bit. Kelly, not behind your back. It's all good, I promise you. So Rosie is an actress who has appeared in theaters in Kansas City, Omaha, St. Louis, worked in independent film, commercial, voiceover, radio. She actually has 9 audiobooks she's produced, courtesy of Audible.com, and she lives, works, plays, and reads in Kansas City. You are a Kansas City native, right, Rosie?
Yes, I am. Born and raised here.
Wow, cool. Cool town. But this is your first appearance that you're making at the Here Now Festival, right?
Yes. I took part in the Here Now Festival in their workshop 101 a couple of years ago, but this is the first time I'm actually taking part in the festival itself as a performer.
All right. Now, Rosie and I, and along with Kelly, we're going to be reading the first night, Thursday night, June 11th, at Prospero's Books. We'll be a part of the Mark Twain reading, celebrating Mark Twain. Rosie will be reading a section. I'm going to have her read a little bit of what she's going to read for us, just to give you a sample. But, Rosie, how did you come to this world we call acting?
Oh, golly. I think when I was probably in high school, I took the drama class, just sort of kept doing community theater. Got a degree. My college degree was in theater. It was just a general theater degree, though, and just kept working through the years. Got my equity card at one point and then got rid of it a few years later, and just been hanging about the theaters ever since then. I took a hiatus when I was married and then came back to it afterwards, and even took up with old friends in the theater who I'd been in school with. So.
All right. And your current work is audiobooks, but you're also doing some other theater stuff as well there in KC, right?
Right. Yes. I'm doing auditioning all the time and got some callbacks and things coming up soon. I've take part in a radio program called Shots in the Night on KKFI Radio here. And it's on once a month. We write little skits and perform them. There's a group of 9 of us who take part in that. This month is going to be, it's always the first Thursday of the month. And this month is going to be, I think, Aliens. And then we're going to perform one called Jokes in June. We've just been collecting jokes, and we're going to go through one of those kind of things. Last year, we went through the 7 deadly sins. Each month had a theme.
All right. So what's your favorite kind of drama? What do you most like to do?
As far as performing or watching?
Performing.
I love farce. I love farce. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Why farce?
I don't know. It feels natural to me. Maybe because it's so close to life.
Okay. All right. Less acting involved?
No. There's a great deal of acting involved in farce. Yeah. It's just a great kind of comedy. Some of the great comedy plays have been farces. And,
True.
I think because there's that element of reality is lifted from it because it's so ridiculous. The situations can become so ridiculous. Some of the Alan Aykroyd kind of plays where, all the slamming doors, those kind of things are just wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what led you into the world of audiobooks?
You know, I think partly the Here Now Festival opened me up because I was listening to the radio on my lunch hour one day and heard about this, and I just ran back to the office and signed up and got involved in listening and things there. And then I started listening in the car. You know, I just started popping radio audiobooks into the car whenever I drive. And about a year ago, my acting coach teamed up with a former student who is narrating audiobooks, and they started teaching some classes, 4-week classes on narration. And I took the first one and just took off from there. ACX has been a great resource for those of us in Kansas City, because there's not much else happening in the audiobook industry here. We don't get the opportunities people on the coast do. So I've been going through that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Same thing here in Chattanooga. I mean, we you know, if it's not for ACX, we're not doing anything really in the world of audiobooks, because it's not happening here either. So
right,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
it's just seems to be a New York and Los Angeles those areas seem to draw that.
Right,
but then that's the way the theater is right now.
So you
have recorded 9 audiobooks. What genres have you recorded in?
I started, the first thing I did was sort of business help, self-help kind of business type of thing. I did some short children's stories, which were great fun, little Cajun girls. So I got to work on Cajun accents, and I've done a wonderful short story. I've done a novel about people who live in a retirement village called The Last Stop. And so series of narrations, the listener becomes the newest resident of this retirement village, and people start talking to him or her, whoever you are. So you become part of the book yourself. So you are that extra person. I just recorded, Lizzie Borden just came out about 3 weeks ago, mm-hmm. Lizzie Borden. And that's just beautifully written. Elizabeth Engstrom is a wonderful writer, and we're quite excited about this one. The anniversary of the murders is in August 4th, so hopefully something will come of that, you know, for Lizzie Borden fans and people who have read the book, because the book had gone through 4 printings when it was available in book form, and now it's on ebook and audiobook. And so it was quite a, you know, had a nice run, and I think people who read the book may want to hear the audiobook now.
I hope so. It sounds interesting. So in your contact with the Here Now Festival, what to date has been your best part of it or your favorite part of it?
Oh, golly. The first year when I was involved in Workshop 101, we were literally in classes all the time from like 10 a.m. to 10 p.m., so we didn't get to do much.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to Netherworld, Neil Gaiman book. We got to go in and you listen to that. And it was one of those, not so much a narrated book, but almost a radio program.
Okay.
And that seems to be a really hot genre, especially in the British Isles, I guess. And there's a wonderful local group called Right Between the Ears, which is a lot like the, what is the Washington Steps or something?
Capitol Steps. Capitol Steps.
Yeah. It's a lot like that, but not so political. It's just
Capitol Steps is all political satire. Beautifully
done.
Right.
Well, they do things kind of like that same kind of pace and all,
mm-hmm.
except it's not political satire. It's just very, very funny. And they will be performing, I think, on Friday night. And I always go to those performances when I can. They're really, really good. If I can get into any of the anything that Barbara Rosenblatt is doing, they give some great advice. And last year I listened to a bunch of Robin, I forgot her last name now, and Barbara and some of the other people came in and they just read some excerpts from things that they chose that were fun for them. And to watch them at work was really great.
I bet it is. I'm looking forward to this because I've mentioned this on air, but I'm going to be sitting with Barbara in a one-on-one coaching session. I'm about as stoked about it as I can be. So,
oh, yes, yeah. Yes. There was a lot of competition for what you got.
Yeah, I know. I'm just going, yeah. What, I got you, this?
You're the man. I mean, it was wonderful. Yeah. And I'm so glad that I get to be working with the person who got it.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And I'm looking forward to working with you, too, really. So we're going to be reading Mark Twain together on Thursday night at Prospero's Books at 5:30 p.m. if you're in the Kansas City area and listening to this. That's on June 11th. And you get, yes, you get free pizza if you're a pizza eater. That's a wonderful thing. So we are going to be reading Mark Twain. Rosie and myself and Kelly Hazen will all be reading sections from different books. I've got a section I'm going to read from Huck Finn. Kelly is going to read a piece out of Tom Sawyer, the whitewashing of the fence. And Rosie's got a selection out of the Diaries of Eve. If I remember
Adam and
right.
Eve.
Adam and Eve, okay.
Right.
The Diaries of Adam and Eve. And what section are you reading out of that?
Well, I'm doing a few days here, early in the diaries, when they've just sort of getting used to each other being around.
Okay.
And have just, naming of the animals is one section we'll be doing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. You want to share a sample with us, set it up and share it with us?
Sure. We're going to start with a Monday. The diary itself starts with Saturday, and Eve has just come into her consciousness. But we're going to start with Monday with Adam and then go into Wednesday a few days later. And, of course, I guess the days in these could be eons. So here we go.
Okay.
Monday. This new creature with the long hair is a good deal in the way. It is always hanging around and following me about. I don't like it. I'm not used to company. I wish it would stay with the other animals. Wednesday. We are getting along very well indeed now and getting better and better acquainted. He does not try to avoid me anymore, which is a good sign and shows that he likes to have me with him. That pleases me, and I study to be useful to him in every way I can so as to increase his regard. During the last day or two, I have taken all the work of naming things off his hands, and this has been a great relief to him, for he has no gift in that line and is evidently very grateful. He can't think of a rational name to save him, but I do not let him see that I am aware of his defect. Whenever a new creature comes along, I name it before he has time to expose himself by an awkward silence. In this way, I have saved him many embarrassments. I have no defect like his. The minute I set eyes on an animal, I know what it is. I don't have to reflect a moment. The right name just comes out instantly, just as if it were an inspiration, as no doubt it is, for I am sure it wasn't in me half a minute before. I seem to know just by the shape of the creature and the way it acts what animal it is. When the dodo came along, he thought it was a wildcat. I saw it in his eye. But I saved him, and I was careful not to do it in a way that could hurt his pride. I just spoke up in a quite natural way of pleased surprise, and not as if I was dreaming of conveying information, and said, "Well, I do declare, if there isn't the dodo." I explained without seeming to be explaining how I knew it for a dodo, and although maybe he was a little piqued that I knew the creature when he didn't, it was quite evident that he admired me. That was very agreeable, and I thought it more than once with gratification before I slept. How little a thing can make us happy when we feel that we have earned it. Tuesday. I get no chance to name anything myself. The new creature names everything that comes along before I can get in a protest. And always the same pretext is offered. It looks like the thing. There is the dodo, for instance. Says the moment one looks at it, one sees at a glance that it looks like a dodo. It will have to keep that name, no doubt. It wearies me to fret about it, and it does no good anyway. Dodo. It looks no more like a dodo than I do. How's that?
That's wonderful. Thank you. Oh, it's been many years since I've read that book, and I've forgotten the very sharp and wonderful wit that's a part of it. And,
yes,
of course, that's classic Mark Twain.
Right. And, you know, Thornton Wilder took this book and turned it into a play.
I didn't know that.
Yes, uh-huh.
Really?
Right.
Oh, my goodness. I've got to look that up now.
Yeah, I do too. Now I want to go read the play.
Yeah, excellent. Actually, I do too. I'm going, whoa, I got to check this out. All right. So what else would you like to share with us, Miss Rosie, that I haven't asked you about?
Oh, golly. I probably had things in my head before I read. Well, right now I'm working on a new book about Henry Kissinger, a biography there.
I bet that's fascinating.
I think it will be. I haven't gotten into it yet. I've just printed off my pages and started trying to organize things. Uh-huh. So it's a short biography, about an hour and a half long, I think.
Well, thank you for joining me. Thank you for spending a few minutes with me. I appreciate it very, very much. And I look forward to meeting you in person next week.
Yes, yes. And we'll do the tour of Kansas City and we'll have some Mexican food here, I guess you said you wanted.
Mexican or Italian, I mean, just whatever works with a guy with a no-meat diet.
So. Great. Okay, we'll find you something.
There we go. Rosie, thank you for joining me, and we'll see you next week.
Okay, bye.
Right, bye. My other companion is actress Kelly Hazen. Kelly could not join me for the interview for this podcast, so let me just tell you a little bit about her. From her website, it's kellyhazen.net, I get the impression there's not much she doesn't do. Actress, writer, singer, dancer, mother, teacher, preacher, friend, tinker, tailor, soldier, spy, your worst nightmare, a friend to all, and a sister to every other Girl Scout. Hey, that's a quote, folks. She's worked in film, television, off-Broadway, done other stage work all over the country. She's an Audible-approved producer and a 2-time Earphones Award winner from Audible Magazine. She was born and raised in Kansas City, and currently she plays Dr. Bartlett on ABC's The Young and the Restless. She's a 3-time Chicago Joseph Jefferson winner, 2-time Los Angeles Ovation Award winner. She's also a lecturer for the world-renowned Griffith Observatory in Los Angeles. And on Thursday night, she's going to be reading from Tom Sawyer. You'll learn how to whitewash a fence, Tom Sawyer style. Now, I don't have a Mark Twain sample for you to hear from her, but I do have the following from her website.
Lila Mae Alcott sat behind the wheel of her cocoa-colored Bentley with a cream interior as the air conditioning blasted. Two faces stared out the glass door of the posh shop the Bentley was parked in front of. Lila Mae was oblivious to all as she focused on her cell phone, muttering to herself. "Oh, no," she said. "Not only is Mercury retrograde, but the moon is void and it was just full in Scorpio and will no doubt clobber my sisters big time." Lila Mae exited the astrology website and pocketed the cell phone. Then she switched the car off and retrieved her keys out of the ignition. She opened the door, then noticed the girls' faces pressed against the glass. Lila Mae waved before she swung her shapely legs out of the car. She grabbed for her straw purse and the custom-made frilly parasol, vintage 1900s, and a shade of buttercream that matched her suit. Lila Mae aimed the umbrella out of the open door and pressed a button on the handle, and the parasol quickly sprung open. The Alcott Chocolates Company heiress climbed out of the car and bumped the door closed with a trim hip. She pushed a button on her key remote and set the car alarm. "Yes, Mother, I'm protecting my face from the sun," Lila Mae said under her breath as the sun blazed down from the Houston sky. It was unusually warm for January, but the weather had been crazy all last year, and it appeared to be heading in that direction once again. Lila Mae walked determinedly on 4-inch acrylic heels toward the upscale clothing shop on Kirby Drive at West Alabama. A tinkling bell announced her arrival, and the staff of 2 swooped down on their familiar customer.
"How nice to see you, Miss Alcott," Nadine tittered.
She retrieved the parasol, collapsed it, and handed it back to Lila Mae, scanning the perfectly made-up face. "Not an age spot in sight," Nadine observed. Money had its advantages.
"Madge, Mrs. Abercrombie, is in the dressing room,"
Mary announced in a moderated whisper, eyes wide with knowing. One look at Mary told Lila Mae everything she needed to know. She headed toward the back of the store, fearing the worst. "You don't suppose Madge is trying on anything sensible, now do you?"
"She's going to tell you it's for Sissy,"
Mary whispered. Keeping pace beside Lila May, she made the gesture of slitting her throat. Did she actually say she was shopping for Sissy, or for you not to tell me? Lila May shuddered at the thought. Snickering, Nadine returned to the counter, popping her gum loudly. Madge, let's see what you found, Lila May bellowed from outside the dressing room. She sat down on a horrid little orange plastic chair that she thought may have had a past life in a cafeteria during the 60s, but was suddenly popular again. The curtain parted, and Madge Abercrombie posed. Her magenta-tinted curly hair forged a sharp contrast to the robin's egg blue shimmery spandex shirt. The cropped cargo pants did fit her to perfection, but she was unaware that her sister cringed inwardly. Are you going for the I'm 66 and have Alzheimer's so I won't remember this ensemble tomorrow look? Lila May threw at her older sister. The bell on the front door tinkled the announcement of another shopper. Chance Walker sauntered up to the sisters and drew out his official Houston Police Department's detective's badge.
Am I going to have to make an arrest here, ladies?
He asked in his gruffest voice. Get out the handcuffs, officer. Madge won't go quietly, Lila May said, as she raised her hands, blue spandex forgotten, and went to greet him. Chance and Lila May shared a giggle. They hugged in a best friend way. She appraised his charcoal suit and crisp white linen shirt and multicolored tie, none of which were off the rack. Lila May was pretty sure that Chance was the best-dressed detective on the force and the wealthiest cop in Houston, having been raised in River Oaks.
"Saw the cars and thought I'd drop in," Chance said.
"You got here just in time," Lila May claimed as she brushed imaginary lint from his suit jacket. Chance did look good in a suit, and he was fit and trim for his 56 years, Lila May thought. They stood arm in arm, Chance towering over Lila May by a good 6 inches.
"Hi, Chance. Like it?"
Madge asked.
"Why should Sissy get to have all the fun?"
She disappeared behind the dressing room curtain. "Because she's 22, or maybe because she's your granddaughter," Lila May offered. "I knew this shopping trip was going to be disastrous as soon as you mentioned this place. Why do you do this to yourself?"
That's actress Kelly Hazen, who will be appearing with Rosie Devine and myself for the Here Now Festival Mark Twain Celebration in Kansas City, Missouri. That starts on June 11th. The three of us will be reading Mark Twain that evening, starting at 5:30 p.m. at Prospero's Books. Admission is free to that part of the festival. This festival looks to be a lot of fun, so I invite you, if you're anywhere in striking distance of Kansas City, to come on by. Well, that's all the time for the Narration by George podcast this week, and probably for next week as well. Since I'll be at the festival next week, travel time will prevent this podcast from being new then, so just listen to some of the other podcasts. Catch up. Enjoy. Don't forget you can catch me on the web at narrationbygeorge.com. Like my Facebook page. Please like my Facebook page. It's Narration by George. Follow me on Twitter. I am at Narration by Geo. Find me on Pinterest. It's Narration by George. And join me in 2 weeks. That'll be on Wednesday, June 17th, when the Narration by George podcast will again be new.